For our first scripture reading, we turn to Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Our text this evening is the first three verses of this psalm of praise. The previous psalm, Psalm 114, also is a psalm of praise to God, especially for his great deliverance of Israel from Egypt. God showed redeeming power and grace to his people. And he gave a testimony to the world. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, we read in verse 7. And then Psalm 115 continues with praise to God as the absolute ruler, the sovereign king and savior of his people. And it's a summons to glorify God, the true God, in contrast to idols who are not God. Give glory to God. That's our main concern. Also, as we pray together tonight in a time of need, as we pray for our needs, God's glory comes first in our prayers. And that's not simply some conclusion from an Old Testament psalm. Remember our Lord's Prayer, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the first concern. So we seek God's glory. In doing so, we exalt in God's rule. And we must be intentional and quite determined to remember to give God the glory. We hear in verse 1, Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. The psalmist is exhorting himself, so to speak, reminding that God is worthy of praise. Our natural tendency is to seek our own glory and take pride in ourselves, our ability. We've heard a lot of man-exalting talk in the last number of weeks in connection with COVID-19. And extolling human ingenuity and the expertise of scientists and professionals, and a kind of patriotic resolve and a kind of optimism that we can overcome this. We can stand together. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. I have no criticism of optimism, or we ought to be thankful indeed for human ingenuity as God gifts men. We're thankful for professionals, for scientists. But not at the expense of the glory of God. Not in a failure to acknowledge him. In order to honor God, God must be acknowledged. His hand must be recognized in such things, so that we might also humble ourselves under his hand. I've even heard of some religious people taking it upon themselves to deny that God's hand is involved in COVID-19. God wouldn't do such a thing. God has nothing to do with such disasters. Well, they may go ahead and say that about their God, but it's not our God. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. What God is pleased to do doesn't match man-centered ideas and expectations. So where is their God? We hear the question asked in our psalm. And especially in times of suffering, and especially when the church is suffering, and it appears that God doesn't come for their help, or when individual believers are suffering, that can be a taunt of the wicked. So where is your God? The God who supposedly loves you and cares for you. And that could be a temptation. But God has his reasons when he doesn't act according to human demands or expectations, and he has reasons when he doesn't act according to human standards, especially in a time of disaster. Amos chapter 3, verse 6 asks a rhetorical question. Is there calamity in the city and the Lord has not done it? And of course, the expected answer is, of course not. Where there is calamity, the sovereign Lord is involved in this. In fact, if God isn't in control over such things, what reasonable expectations are there that God could stop it? That God could bring it to an end? That he could do anything to change it? If it's out of his control? God is in control. And we glorify him by confessing that. We confess that his ways are above our ways. We don't presume to know all that God is accomplishing through such things. We know he is incomprehensible, but we also know that God judges the nations. God confronts people with their frailty so that they would acknowledge him and seek him. And God does chasten and correct his church to sanctify his people. And he calls people to seek him. And we exalt in God's rule. And as we do that, we also trust in his grace. Notice, because of your mercy and your truth, God is glorified. No one glorifies God simply by a kind of forced submission. Because God is powerful and there's nothing we can do to withstand him. The glory of God is especially revealed in his mercy and his truth. God showed his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. God is merciful and gracious. His loving kindness and faithfulness are displayed. His power was revealed to Israel so that they trusted in him. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. God's glory has been revealed supremely for us in a way that the psalmist couldn't appreciate because it was revealed supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ we see that the highest glory of God is joined to the salvation of his church. And so when we say, to your name give glory, we're not simply expressing our submission, but we are expressing our joy. We can pray this with joy. All our specific requests, in them all, we may have confidence that the main concern for God's name and for our best and highest interest, they truly coincide. We may not know how that works out in the details, but we know that God's glory and the best interests of his church coincide. To him be glory in the church, to all generations, forever and ever, Paul exclaims, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we trust in God's grace as we glorify him. And that's not selfish either. We want our God to be made known, thirdly. Unbelief says, where is their God? Where is your God? As if this is some profound argument against the truth of God. Actually, you think of the irony of it. We could turn the question around, couldn't we? Where is your God? And would these idolaters say, come over here, I'll show you. Look, I've got this image here. Isn't it beautiful? It's made out of pure silver. Or I can take you into my ornate temple and show you a statue to which we bow down. That's where our God is. Oh, very, very impressive. A God who has ears but can't hear, who has a mouth but can't speak, eyes that can't see, hands that can't handle. A dead God. who is helpless. He can't help himself. He can't help anyone else. And that's true of all those gods who are not gods, whether they're wealth or pleasure or human power or achievement, whatever they may be. Without God, everything people trust in is worthless. And they're no better than dead things. They cannot do anything. And their worshipers become spiritually dead. They show their spiritual death by worshiping dead idols. To be without God is to be without hope in the world. We want God to be glorified in the way that Jesus prayed. When we hear this mockery of idols, yes, we're justified in hearing a kind of mockery, but we also ought to hear it with pity and compassion for people who worship gods that are helpless because they cannot help them. And we want God to be glorified, and we want it to be glorified also in the way that Jesus prayed. We want people to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. To know him is to have life, eternal life. With all the suffering, with all the loss at this time, if many people are eternally saved through the coronavirus, if it becomes the occasion for them to seek God, if it becomes the occasion for the gospel to be made known and the Holy Spirit to give life, well, the main concern is taking place in a marvelous way. And God is glorified. And a petition, "Hallowed be your name," is being answered right along with the next one, "Your kingdom come." And that's our desire. That's also included in our prayers tonight. Amen. And at this time, four of our elders will lead us in prayer.
Before we pray, I'm going to read a short passage from Isaiah chapter 45, just a few verses. It is starting at verse 5. "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you tonight having read your word of truth that you have given us. A word that so clearly says that you are the Lord and that there is no other God apart from you. You are the great and awesome God who keeps your covenant of love with those who love you and keep your commandments. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Most holy God, we cannot truly conceive of how great you are. You are high and holy, awesome, righteous, just, eternal, incomprehensible, unchanging, invisible, completely wise and good. You have given us your word. You have given us your spirit. You have saved us by your gracious mercy and the propitiating sacrifice of Christ our Savior. You look on us clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus that has been imputed to us. And through this, you open our hearts and minds to the truth of who you are, the great creator God, the maker, sustainer, and controller of the universe. This is an incredible thought, to know that you made all things and that you sustain all things, and nothing, absolutely nothing, happens apart from your eternal will and plan. We can look at that incredible creation that you have made and know that all people are without excuse when it comes to knowing you as you have revealed yourself in your creation. More incredibly, you reveal yourself to us in your word, and in your word, we learn that you have redeemed us, a redemption that is foreordained from eternity past. You have washed us clean in the blood of the Lamb. And yet we do not always want to acknowledge you. We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We sin because of our very nature that we have from Adam. We live in a world where the very idea of the sovereign God who controls everything is an offensive idea. The sinful world hates us for this confession, and we confess, Lord, that we too can fall into those thoughts, where we do not want to attribute to you the total sovereignty that you have. Lord God Almighty, do not look upon us in our sins. Do not hold our sins against us. It is in our nature outside of Christ to do wickedly and to rebel against you. Lord, you tell us to confess our sins, and that you are faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you that you have opened our hearts and worked within us through your Holy Spirit, so that we are able to confess those sins. Lord, we are a people in need of the salvation that you have given us in Christ. We humbly confess our sins before you, sins such as our pride, our cold hearts, our lack of love for you and for each other, our selfishness, and so many others. We even hear people stating that we can control this virus as though we are in total control. Lord, you make it so abundantly clear that we are the creature and you the creator. You are the potter and we are the clay. You are in control and we are not. And you make it known to us that our sins have been fully paid for by Christ our beloved Savior. We ask that you continue to work within us, sanctifying us through your Spirit to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, you are the great and awesome God. As we have read in Isaiah, you bring prosperity and create disaster. We are living in a period where we cannot gather as your people due to a simple little virus, a virus that can affect so many in so many different ways. In these events, it's not just the virus that affects people, but loss of work, loss of freedoms and liberty, anxious hearts as people do not know the future, and in many other ways. But we are to be constantly reminded, as you reveal to us through King David, that you are exalted as head over all, that in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all your people. Give us strength, Lord, in these times, that we may persevere, and look forward to that day when we are able to gather together again in worship and praise of you. Be merciful to us, we pray. You tell us that we will be saved with an everlasting salvation, and that we will not be put to shame or disgrace for ages everlasting. We thank you, Lord, that everything is in your hand, working your perfect purpose, the glory of your name, and you alone are strength and deliverance. We thank you for all that you have done, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing number 216, the first two stanzas.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, but and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Shall we pray? Our great Lord and Savior, we come before you in this evening hour, in a time of great upheaval around the world and close to home. Many of us have had immense changes in our lives, whether loss of income and jobs, sickness, or loss of loved ones. Many of us have had our daily routines drastically changed. Many of us are feeling isolated from our loved ones and from our church community. We cannot meet face to face to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Yet we thank you that we can still communicate in various ways, and we pray that you would help each of us to build each other up in times of need and share in times of rejoicing through the many different technologies available to us. We thank you that we are still able to gather together by participating in online services. We know that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are there also. Even if we are alone, we know that nothing can prevent you from blessing us with your Spirit. We beseech you for those blessings. We pray for your sustaining and upholding hands. We hear the reports in the news, and we know the futility of placing our trust in our earthly leaders for deliverance. We pray that you would work through them, give them wisdom to maintain an order, and do what is right to preserve life and our freedoms. We know that our trust is in you alone, but that you have instituted earthly means by which we are blessed and protected. We pray for the frontline workers dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic close to home and around the world. We pray that you would bless them and keep them as they put their health and safety, and often that of their families, at risk to serve others. We pray that you would grant them diligence and perseverance in their tasks. We pray that they would have access to the equipment and supplies that are necessary for their own protection and for the treatment of the sick. We pray that you would keep them safe. We pray for the doctors and nurses, for the ambulance drivers and paramedics, for the police, for the firemen. We pray for those who play essential roles in keeping the hospitals open and running, for administrators and janitors, and cooks and all who play sometimes hidden but still critical roles. We pray for those who are still working at jobs necessary to keep our society functioning, even at a limited level. We pray for those who keep the lights on and the water flowing and the food stocked on grocery shelves. Lord, we pray that you would bless those essential workers in their calling, and all of us through them. We pray that you would work mightily to use even this to bring glory and honor to your name. Most of us have grown up and live in a time of great prosperity and convenience, and are blessed in ways that previous generations facing similar circumstances were not. Lord, we know that all of these blessings come from you, and we seek our salvation, our sustenance, and our protection only in you. Merciful God and Father, you give eternal hope and salvation to the living and eternal life to the dying. You alone have life and death in your hands, and Christ alone has the keys of death and of the grave. All things are in your power, so that neither health nor sickness, good nor evil, life nor death can happen to us without your will. We also know that by your power and direction, all things must serve our salvation. Gracious Father, we implore you to grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that he may teach us truly to know our misery and to bear patiently with your chastisements. If you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, these chastisements should have been infinitely more severe. We believe that they are not evidence of your wrath, but of your fatherly love towards us, that we might not be condemned with the world. Lord, strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit, so that we may become more and more united with Christ our head, since it is your good pleasure to unite us to him in both suffering and glory. Enable us to bear what is brought upon us by your fatherly wisdom. We submit ourselves entirely to your will, whether you leave us on earth or whether you take us home unto yourself. We trust that with body and soul, both in life and in death, we belong to Christ, whose resurrection is the guarantee of our blessed resurrection. Grant that we may experience the comfort and forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. May his innocent blood wash away the dirt of our sins, and may his righteousness cover our unrighteousness in your sight. Arm us with faith and hope so that we may overcome the assaults of Satan and not be put to shame by any fear of death. When our eyes grow dim, let your eyes be open toward us. When you take away from us the ability to speak, will you then hear the sighing of our hearts? When our hands have lost their strength, continue to support and carry us on your everlasting arms. Father, we commit our spirit into your hands. Deal with us according to your promise. Never forsake us, but always be with us, even in the hour of death. Hear and answer us for the sake of Christ, our dear Savior. Amen. We'll now sing all three verses of song number 524, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Nebuchadnezzar's plan to kill many wise men, and just wanted to note that it's through prayer that this disaster is averted. So let's read the Word of God. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of all creation, what a privilege it is to come to you today in prayer. We seek to come before you in sincere humility, knowing that we are wholly dependent on you. We come to the throne of grace knowing that you have redeemed us through the work of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Give us a rich measure of your Spirit so that we can love him rightly. Dear Lord, we know that you are the one and only true God and that you created all things. Even from the beginning in the garden, you gave us work. We ask that in this time of limitation that we would again be able to go about our regular activities. As we are hopeful that our nation will resume being able to work fully, we ask that you would bless that work. During this time of year, as farmers begin to plant, we ask for good weather, bountiful rain, and a dry and successful harvest. We thank you that even through this time of distress, food has not been scarce. We ask you to continue this blessing. We thank you that through this time of isolation, many have remembered the importance of ordinary work. Help us all to be content in the calling you have given us, and may those who are proud be brought low. Lord, we look out at our world and we see much damage has been done to the economy. Many people's place of work has been hit by limited or total stoppages, and recovery is not certain. We ask that those in authority would be wise in their decisions, and that we would all be patient until people and companies are allowed to go back to normal modes of work and life. In times like this, often the most vulnerable feel the burden of these things the greatest. You have commanded us to remember the poor, so we ask that you give your people everywhere generous hearts so that those in need would be helped, that in strife many would come to know you and worship you as their Lord and Redeemer. Lord, in these ways we ask that you would bring glory to your name through each of our own daily callings. Help us to see that through our work we love our neighbor in a practical way. May we not do our daily work out of selfish ambition, but in the knowledge that you have given to each one of us, a gift not for our own glory, but in the service of those in need and our own benefit. Teach us to be grateful for these gifts and to love you, the giver. You are the overflowing fountain of all that is good. Help us to reflect that goodness. We also come before you to ask that you would bless our government. We thank you for the measure of stability and wisdom we see in our nation. We thank you for the gift of medicine and for the talents we see in health officials and medical professionals. We pray for Prime Minister Trudeau, for Premier Kenney, and Mayor Iveson. Grant your Spirit that damage to individuals and the economy would be limited. As we pray for those in authority, we also pray for those who have influence in our society. We see the wickedness in news media, in Hollywood, and many other sources. The schemes of the devil are seen in so many places. We see temptation all around. Even our own hearts fail us. Protect us, Lord. May we be as innocent infants in our knowledge of sin, and wash our feet of our sinful walk, as you have promised. We pray boldly that you would send revival, that those in authority and those with influence would also come to know you, that they would proclaim the glory of the one and only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, save us all from our idolatry. Father of grace upon grace, we ask these things through Jesus, who walked before you pure, died before you cursed, and was raised the third day perfect, for us, your adopted children, longing for eternity with you. Amen. We will sing from Psalm 24b.
read from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Just before I read, if you remember, the conclusion of chapter 7 is the persecution, the death of Stephen, one of the early martyrs of the early church. And so explains the first verse of Acts chapter 8 as we begin reading here. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Let's pray. As we've been reminded, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And Father, we're reminded that you are on the throne. You are at home, ruling this world, and we thank you. And Father, we thank you that all things work for your glory. And Father, we pray this evening, as we think of this passage we have read in the death of Stephen, an early martyr in the church, and how this tragic, apparently tragic event, Father, could have been the destruction of this small church, Lord, brought discouragement to the people who had so recently been called together. And yet, Father, we read because you are on the throne and you are sovereign. And Father, you took the events of this time, Father, and sent the gospel all over the known world at that point with people who should have been cowed and feared and afraid. Instead, they were emboldened because God was at work. And Father, we know even in this passage that one of those who stood consenting to the death was the Apostle Saul. And we see, Father, that even he from this tragic event was an answer to the prayer that Stephen himself had made, and that Saul became someone who carried the gospel far around the world. He gave us much of the scriptures that Father, you have inspired for us to read to encourage us, even to encourage us at times like this. And Father, we pray now as we're at a time when the church could be cowed, the church could be afraid. We could wonder because we can't gather to worship, because our ministers are held away from visiting us in our homes, Father, that we are locked in our homes in many cases, that somehow that the Word of God may be hidden. But Father, we also read in scriptures that the Word of God is not bound. It can go wherever you wish it to go, Father, and we thank you and praise you for your might and your power, that the Word of God is continuing to go forward. Again, as we've heard tonight, Father, almost anywhere you turn on Facebook and YouTube, Father, we can hear the gospel preached. We can hear it preached faithfully, that Jesus Christ is the only means of salvation. And Father, we thank you and praise you for that. Father, we thank you that we are still able to go to our neighbors, and we can do kind deeds to our neighbors. The scripture encourages us to do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. And we do that to our brothers and our sisters in Christ. But Father, we thank you that we also have the opportunity to go to our neighbors and to spread the gospel to our neighbors, to do kind deeds in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and to tell them that he is the only hope of salvation. He is the only hope in this time when much of the world seems hopeless and they're sitting fearful and afraid that we may face months and months. We may face reoccurrences of this virus, but we continue to be thankful that we have a God who is in charge and control. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your great mercy in this. And Father, we pray that we also would not just think of ourselves here in this country, but also recognize that this virus is spread throughout the whole known world. And Father, every nation in the world is facing some aspect of dealing with this virus. But Father, we know also in Scripture that you said the gospel would be preached in every land, every tribe, tongue, and nation. And that someday gathered together in your kingdom, Father, in heaven, would be those from all over the world. And Father, we thank you that the gospel goes all over the world too. And Father, we pray that the gospel may be preached and ministers may be emboldened, believers may be emboldened to go to their neighbors, people fearful around the world. And Father, we know that many even in our own country who've come here from other lands and nations are very fearful, Father, because they're away from home and they're away from family. And may we tell them that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that God sits on his throne, that God rules, God is in charge, and he can make a difference. because of his son Jesus Christ whom he gave for us. He demonstrated that great steadfast love and mercy that the scriptures repeat over and over and over to us that God shows to his people. And we thank you for that. And may our concern may not be just for our own selves and for our own city and our own province and our own country, but that our current concern might be for a whole world that they would hear the gospel. And Father, we know that much of the world right now is caught in the time of Ramadan. And Father, may they find out that there is no hope in Allah. There is no hope in any prophet, but the only hope is in Jesus Christ. And may we boldly proclaim that news as we of a people of a confidence that our God is in charge and ruling. Father, do so for your great name's sake. We pray that people might come to know our Savior and our God. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, Father, a tragic event appearing to the world. But that same Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we pray to and through, rose from the dead. And in him we ask this great mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd ask you to turn with us in Psalm number 22D, and we'll sing all the verses. Psalm 22D.
Receive now the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.